Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Who's Number One podcast. Another week. I know we usually do it on Wednesday. Today's Tuesday. We've got some things coming up. But nonetheless, we are here to bring you guys all this, all the action, everything that's going on in the world of Flow Grappling. Who's Number One? As always, my name's Reed Connell. This right here is Corey. What's up, Corey? How you doing, brother?
Oh, what's going on, Reed? A lot to talk about after this last week.
Yeah, as always, right?
Man, jiu-jitsu was back.
Yeah,
you know, this year has started up, and I'm ready for it.
Right, you know, it was a slow year, but things are starting to pick back up, especially here in Texas, of course. So really excited about that. We got Connor in the back. Last week made his debut. Coming back, decided to bless us with his presence again. Thanks, Connor, for coming back, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me again. I got a little upgrade on the
desk.
There
you go. You brought your own desk to the podcast.
I brought my own desk. That's what every good employee does, mm-hmm. as you know. So,
awesome, man. Well, a lot to talk about, a lot to get into. I just want to touch maybe real quick on the weekend. You know, it was a crazy weekend. We had the first IBJJF tournament of the year, the first IBJJF tournament to implement heel hooks and some reaping exchanges, some reaping rules, some different rules in there. But the first time we saw heel hooks in IBJJF. It was a wild weekend. To be honest, from my perspective, I wasn't sure if we were going to see anything different. I was thinking that maybe we were going to see kind of just more of the same IBJJF jiu-jitsu. I wasn't sure that really it was going to change so much. But wow, did it, right?
Yeah, you know, we had a couple of maybe regular IBJJF competitors sticking to what they know. But there were a couple wild cards, right?
Yeah,
there were
yeah.
guys like Stanley Rosa and none other than Oliver Taza. Who, you know, Stanley Rosa got the first ever heel hook and ended up with another heel hook on the day to win the middleweight division, the medium heavyweight division. And Taza had, I think, two heel hooks and a guillotine on the day.
Taza looked good, yeah.
Yeah, he looks great.
Yeah, so a lot of good guys out there. Rita Heisen,
I believe,
you know, he had a great heel hook out there. I've never got to see him compete live before. He's an exciting guy to watch.
First heel hook of his career too.
Was it?
Yeah,
What did you learn about that? I saw you talking to his coach and stuff.
David Garmo was telling me after Rita secured the heel hook that was the first one he's ever hit in competition. And in fact, that Rita only started training heel hooks in like October of last year.
So he's already out there hitting them. Looked nice. Connor, you're like a no-gi guy, right? You're a big no-gi guy. What do you think about heel hooks coming to IBJJF? Good thing for the sport?
Yeah, absolutely good thing for the sport. I'm interested to see how it changes the game, I think, just as much as anyone. I wish I could speak more intelligently on it like Corey can because, he's our leg lock and stats magician. But I think it's going to really change now the separation that used to belong between IBJJF style and submission only style. Mm-hmm. I think that gap has become a little bit smaller, and that means we'll have more competitors, matching up against people they normally never would. So it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, at the very least, you know, Taza kind of known more as a, you know, obviously he's from Danaher Death Squad, known more as a submission only guy. I have seen him quite a bit in IBJJF tournaments. Him and Ethan do these no-gi tournaments quite a bit in the past, IBJJF tournaments. And Stanley Rosa, another guy who trains with Danaher and those guys, and Stanley was the one who ended up getting the first heel hook of the entire tournament, and I know we both talked to him, you know, but he didn't seem too fazed by the submissions or the accolades or whatever that comes with being the first ever heel hook in IBJJF. He was kind of just like, business as usual, right?
But it was the whole reason he was there. You know, he explained to me after the fact that he had felt kind of shunned by having that major component of the way he plays jiu-jitsu be excluded in previous events and mm-hmm. for the last 20 years of no-gi jiu-jitsu. So to have that back will bring guys, not just Stanley Rosa himself, but people like him who are used to the more sub-only style, maybe bring them to the scene, and it could really shake up things like the rankings, where,
true,
you know, we get this blend of no-gi players who stick to without heel hooks or only with heel hooks. They're going to be forced together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It makes for exciting matches, right? Like styles make fights, and those styles are really exciting. So, looking forward to what the future of IBJJF no-gi tournaments, hold. Like you said, hopefully a lot more of these guys, more of these submission-only guys, they, go out there and fight the IBJJF tournaments. Because, man, no matter what, IBJJF tournaments are tough. You're going to get tough matches at IBJJF tournaments. The toughest, probably. So definitely want to see more of that stuff. We were talking a little bit about Oliver Taza there. He was actually kind of warming up for this Who's Number One event coming up here March 26th. Taza has a great match against Johnny Tama, who was also there. Taza versus Tama. I feel like that was planned. Great match. Johnny Tama versus Oliver Taza. You can see some highlights here from Oliver Taza's run at the IBJJF Dallas No-Gi Open. But coming up March 26th, he's going to be fighting Johnny Tama in one of the matches. Great matchup here. Connor, let me throw it to you here, man, first. When you first heard the announcement of Johnny Tama versus Oliver Taza, did you like it? Did it get you excited?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for a prelim match, we have a no-gi world champ, and we got one of the junior members of the Death Squad. This is huge. And I think going back to our previous point, that separation between I know Oliver Taza is not sub-only, but that sub-only heel hook-centric style versus Johnny Tama, who's an IBJJF no-gi world champ. This is exactly what we're talking about with the upcoming clash of styles that maybe we'll see more of within the IBJJF. And we get to see it for free on Facebook, YouTube. Like,
perfect.
Love it.
Exactly. So the a couple fights are going to be on streamed free on Facebook, YouTube, like we've been doing in the past. And this Oliver Taza, Johnny Tama one, I believe, is going to kick off the main card. But we'll see about that. Corey, Taza, known as a leg locker. Johnny, though, has experience as a leg locker. He's not just an IBJJF competitor, right? He has experience in these leg locking scenarios. He's got the Tama lock. He's a big Esteema lock guy. Who do you think has the advantage in maybe some of those leg entanglements or when they get in those positions?
You know, I don't think you can count out any Danaher Death Squad member from having the upper hand in the leg lock exchanges. But that's not to say that Johnny Tama doesn't have his own strengths, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He is. We had a chance. I think you and I both had a chance to talk to both of these athletes over the past weekend, and they are both excited for how game each other are, right? They're both excited that Oliver was saying to me, I know that Johnny's going to come forward. I know he's not going to back away. He's going to engage, and regardless of what happens, that's going to make it an exciting fight. Johnny may have hinted to me that he has a couple plans on how to address
a couple tricks
some of Oliver's strengths. I think this may not go exactly as you'd expect.
Yeah, of course, Johnny's going to be ready for what Taza and the Danaher Death Squad, those guys bring to the table. I think he's luckily studied some of these leg locking positions for many years. So like maybe some of his peers, he's not that far behind the Danaher Death Squad when it comes to some of these leg locks positions and stuff like that. We've seen him get in some of these shootouts before. But also, I think the big thing about Johnny is we saw Johnny kind of have a little bit of a lackluster 2020. He's kind of up, kind of down, and I think that's really a testament to it just seemed like he didn't have a proper place to call home as a training facility. You know, he kind of bounced back and forth with Team 76 and Roberto and, of course, Alliance and a couple other gyms out there in San Diego. It didn't seem like he really had a place where he was getting that consistent training with high-level guys that you need to be able to compete against the most elite competitors in jiu-jitsu. Talking to him over the weekend, though, it sounds like he's found a home finally, and it sounds like he's really focused on making 2021, his best year yet. You know, he wants to forget about some of the losses that happened last year. He's putting his best foot forward. It sounds like he's in a really, really good place in terms of his training and the training partners that he has. He was saying that he has some guys that are right around Oliver's weight and are good leg lockers. So I think finally we might see kind of like the peak or tip-top shape Johnny Tama, and it couldn't come at a better time because, of course, the stage is huge on who's number one. You know, it's a big, big stage. And that's one thing I like so much about this who's number one, you know, is it does feel like a bigger stage, I guess. You know, there's a lot to be won here. Would you say that's true, Connor, that the who's number one stage just feels like a elevated competition? You know, you have to bring your A game if you're coming to who's number one.
For sure. And like I said, this is the chance to put your name on the map. So that's why it's so important to come ready, to come physical, to come looking for submissions. I mean, this isn't a position-based rule set. So you really just got to fire away. And I think that has, that's put all eyes on it. And they should be on it. And I'd like to add, whenever you were talking about Johnny Tama, Oliver Taza, we've already got to see like a pre-run of this show. He Johnny Tama faced down Ethan Krellenston and got the decision win at Fight to Win 139, I believe. And obviously the two very different competitors with their own unique games. But we did see Johnny Tama versus Donahue Death Squad member. And I think that's going to be an interesting way of looking. I mean, if you watch the fight, Johnny Tama is not afraid of that leg lock battle. He cycles through it with Ethan. Ethan can't get a grip on him. This is one of those matchups where I think Johnny Tama may surprise people.
Wow. You do heel hooks? I don't know much about your jiu-jitsu game. You a heel hook guy?
No, man. I'm always trying to figure out how to avoid those guys.
Gotcha. More like a top player, guard player. What's your game?
Oh yeah, I like my wrestling. I'll do some pressure passing. I've been known to. Oh, shout out, by the way. I wore my 10th Planet Austin, Texas 10th shirt. Planet.
Okay. Yeah, sick shirt. I like it. I was curious. I'm like, man, I haven't never rolled with Connor. I'm curious what his game was. But, great matchup there. Johnny Tama versus Oliver Taza. That's the one going down March 26th. Like the guy said, you can watch it free on Facebook or YouTube prelims. Huge card, of course, at the top, Wagner versus Gordon. And the co-main event on the card, I believe it's a co-main event anyway, is going to be a big, big matchup, barn burner of a matchup. Our referee is going to have his hands full for this one. He's going to be running around all the mat, I have a feeling. Luckily, we did just get a bigger mat at who's number one to contain both these heavyweights. I'm talking about Nick Rodriguez taking on Yuri Samoys. What a great matchup. I believe these guys have never faced off against each other, right? So it seems like perfect time, perfect match, perfect place for this matchup. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And despite the fact that they haven't faced off against each other, Nicky Rod has been hunting down ADCC champions, right? Mm-hmm. He's taken out a handful of them. Mm-hmm. And this could be not just an ADCC champion, but a two-time ADCC champion he's up against. He's done it before. What I'm curious about is how stylistically they play, right? Because they're both wrestlers. They're both great, great takedown artists. First instinct is, okay, maybe Yuri takes away Nicky Rod's biggest asset and pulls guard. But Reed, I think you got to see him last, right? Has Nicky Rod's game evolved past just the takedown back take style?
Man, it's been a while since we've seen Nicky Rod out there on the competition mats. We saw him a couple times last year. He had one match there with Roberto, I remember, a couple times. But we haven't seen a whole lot of him. And that's, in 2019, he was competing almost every weekend. You know, he was getting ready for ADCC, competing a whole bunch. Then he had ADCC. And then he kept the run going even after that. So we saw him compete a whole lot. He definitely took some time off to work on his game and moved down there with the Puerto Rico crew. I think we have even a little clip of Nick training down in Puerto Rico with the guys. I think we got to see him play a lot of guard when we were down there. You know, he's certainly working on filling up those holes, you know, and John has definitely taken a big interest in Nicky, right, and shoring up those holes that Nicky has in his game. So I think 100% we're going to see a different Nicky Rod this time around. This is my friend Oscar right here, down at the bottom, local Puerto Rico grappler, blue belt, I believe he is. So it's just a couple of the other Puerto Rico guys who are getting some good reps in with the Danaher Death Squad. But yeah, I totally agree. You know, Corey, this is definitely going to be a different one. I think, you know, in the past, Nicky has been just pigeonholed as a wrestler with some jiu-jitsu, and I think this time around, it won't quite be, you know, that black and white anyway.
Right. Well, and that's fair enough, right? When he was at ADCC, he had less than 3 years of actual jiu-jitsu experience.
Yeah.
So now he doesn't have a couple more years of jiu-jitsu experience, sure, but also a couple more years of jiu-jitsu experience in one of the toughest rooms on the planet.
Exactly. You know, he's training with Gordon every day. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to get better. You have to get better if you're training with Gordon Ryan every day. You want to train with Gordon Ryan every day, Connor? Yes. I know I don't, actually.
I mean, sign me up. Probably not. I hear they do, like, morning workouts, so maybe not those.
You're not a morning guy?
We can work out, like, an afternoon schedule. You know, I'm here for it. And if it means I get to live in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
For sure. What do you think about this matchup here? Yuri, you know, obviously known for his top pressure, but he did pull guard versus Wagner there. You know, he's been out here in Austin training with the guys, William Tackett and Cody Steele. So, you know, he's putting in the work. Yuri's going to be ready. I don't know. How do you see this one going, Connor?
When you think about how you make a match with Nicky Rod, really, if you want him to have a competitive and a clash of styles, you want someone who's athletic and technical. If you don't have both, you're going to have a rough time on the mats with him. If you're not technical, you can't slow him down. If you're not athletic, he's just going to bowl through you. And I think Yuri Simo is one of those people that he absolutely checks those boxes. Not only that, he has a wild amount of experience. I mean, this is a two-time ADCC champ we're talking about. So what more could you ask for? Someone who could meet and bang with Nicky, someone who can drag him into a jiu-jitsu game, and then we get to test out Nicky Rod under submission-only rule sets, which, you know, a lot of people critique him for his consider lack of submissions. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's going to be beautiful. I'm so hyped for this card.
Yeah, do you feel like the who's number one rule set is a bad rule set for Nicky? Do you feel like it favors Yuri?
I don't know. I was thinking about that earlier. I do believe, I don't know who it favors more, but I do believe that the fight would look very different under ADCC rules.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially considering how much of a vet Yuri is, and considering Nicky Rod's style is like born and bred to take out ADCC competitors. I don't know. What do you think? How does submission only affect it, Corey?
You know, I struggle to be able to find a way that this match ends in submission, but I think this match, it would be difficult for me to predict what submission this match ends in, but I think regardless of what happens, it's going to be scrappy the whole way. I think this is probably the only match I can say for certain is not likely to end in a submission, but I think it's just going to be a banger. I think it's not going to slow down. Both guys are going to go after it. I don't know that if it ever really hits the ground. If it does have a lot of great action to watch. But if it doesn't, I don't think it's going to be one of those boring lock horns wrestling matches. I think it's going to be a lot of throwing around and running around the mat and nearly running tables over.
I was going to say, Chase and Howe better be ready at the commentary tables to, have to hold up these dudes coming into them at any moment. I was just going to say that I feel like if there is a submission, it might be like, it might be a leg lock. I feel like best case or most common would have to be maybe a leg lock. You know, Nicky not nearly known as a leg locker, but of course he's got those skills, and we have seen a little bit of them. But he has been submitted by leg lock as well. And I'm trying to rack my brain. I don't really remember too many people going after Yuri's legs. Yeah. I can't really remember.
Well, in that clip we just ran, I was there that day. They were training specifically leg locks at Brazilian Fight Factory.
Gotcha.
And man, Yuri looked really good. You know, it was kind of a locked in 50-50 drill or a locked in 411 drill, locked in the saddle. Mm-hmm. And it was attack and defend. That's all you could do. No escaping, just, you know, sit in this position and suck it up and either tap or get tapped.
So he didn't look lost in the position or anything.
At all. He actually was doing something a little unusual and counterattacking while trapped in the position.
Mm. Okay. So he's down to go for the shootout, leg lock shootout.
If that Tuesday morning class was any indication, then absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, of course, Nicky trains with those guys, the leg lockers, all day. We see him going for those in the training room, but he has been submitted by a leg lock, you know, so it's a double-edged sword there. But a lot to break down with this matchup, you know, a lot of credentials bringing to the mat here. I'm really excited. It's one of our first kind of big guy match. Of course, you know, we have Gordon on there, but this is a real match with two titans of grappling, you know, ADCC silver medalist, two-time ADCC champion, so a real big matchup. I haven't seen Nicky in a while. Yuri's out there doing MMA, both kind of in different worlds. Love that they're coming together on the Who's Number One stage finally. Really, really exciting. I do want to get to something real quick, actually. You know, we did a breakdown last week of the Who's Number One, and one guy we didn't talk about at all, really, I just want to mention, give him a shout-out, Elder Cruz versus Jacob Couch was a first match of the night there. We talked about kind of all the other matches, but we didn't really talk about maybe what was the, I won't say the biggest upset of the night, because, of course, Natchi versus Gabby was the biggest upset of the night, but definitely it was a huge, huge upset. Elder Cruz looked phenomenal, took out Jacob Couch. Really, Jacob couldn't really get much going. Just want to give a shout-out to Elder. Connor, anything you want to say about Elder? He looked pretty good out there, right?
Yeah. He stuck to his game plan. He put the pressure on. It was great to see both competitors. You know, obviously we have a working relationship with Mr. Couch. He's on Daisy Fresh. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. Great series. But you know, Elder Cruz came in. He was all business from day one. He was ready to fight, and you know, he backed everything he set up. Shout out to both competitors. Thank you, Elder Cruz, for being so cool with us over the weekend, and I'm excited to see both back on the Who's Number One mat soon.
Anybody you'd like to see Elder against, Corey? Anybody stick out? I know that, you know, purple belt, heavyweight, not the deepest maybe, anybody that you can think of?
Yeah, I'd like to see him maybe jump around. It's tough to gauge who the purple and brown belts are,
yeah,
at the heavier weight classes, but I think he'd do well in a jump up. I think his top pressure is clearly
jump up in belt rank,
in
you mean?
Belt rank, or yeah, I mean, weight class, there's not much of a further jump to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd like to see him against some brown or some black belts. He's right there, and his top pressure is definitely a little bit his top pressure
is
there.
It's the real deal. Tatao from Atos is a name that kind of pops out to me. I know. I'm not sure if they've had matches, but he's a tough purple belt, to kind of around that weight. Maybe he could be somebody that that matches up with Elder in the future. But yeah, great match. Shout out to those guys. Great card. If you didn't check that one out, go back, watch Who's Number One. A lot of fun. While we're doing shout outs here, I want to just give another quick shout out to, of course, my co-host here, Corey. Forgot to mention here at the top of the show that Corey went out there in the Dallas Open and took home some scalps, took home some names with him, and got the gold medal out there in Dallas. Shout out to Corey, man. Congrats. How was the competition?
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, I did the Master 1 featherweight, and I ended up jumping into the absolute division.
That's so right.
That was an interesting experience. I think I've been picked up off the ground more times than I've ever in my entire career been picked up off the mat.
Well, what weight class do you do?
Feather.
Featherweight? Okay. So you fought what? Like a super heavyweight first round?
The first round was a heavyweight. I think the second round was a super ultra heavyweight, though. So I nearly went through the ceiling.
Sick.
It was fun.
Always fun. Pretty sick always to have the flow grappling guys throw down in some competitions out there. You know, we love jiu-jitsu just as much as you guys. So definitely give Corey some kazoo points or whatever you guys you know, give him some Facebook likes or some Instagram likes.
We're starting it now. It's Corey the King Stockton.
There you go, Corey the King.
He's coming for you. You're on notice.
Yeah. And just one more shout out real quick, actually. Michael Sears, obviously, Mike, the head honcho and Who's Number One, is not here this week. He's out in Brazil. He might still be on vacation, I'm not sure. But he's out there killing it in Brazil. He will be back at the Who's Number One desk very, very soon. Of course, we miss him. So shout out to Mike. And yeah, looking forward to having him back in the studio. We got some stuff to go over, man. All right. Let's get to a couple little news pieces here, if we can, while we're on the subject. Did you guys see Andre's apology video that he put out there? Of course, on Friday of last week, the whole mayhem of the slap incident is kind of being put to bed here. Andre came out and did a live on his Instagram. Ultimately, really just kind of apologized to most everybody, apologized to the BJJ community, forgave Gordon Ryan, and said that he's starting down a new path. Basically, he was going down the wrong path in the way he was promoting the fight. He said that he's taking the lessons that he learned and is starting down his new path. What do you think, Corey, here? Just general thoughts. Just want to throw it to you.
Yeah, you know, I said this yesterday on the Grappling Bulletin podcast, but I think it deserves to be re-said, is I appreciate that he kind of took the blame a little bit for what happened and for getting a little bit out of control, not just at what happened at that event, but he took responsibility for the way he had been acting on social media for the weeks and months and years leading up to it. And I think that it was the best course of action on this. Regardless of what you think of the event and who was in the right and who was in the wrong, if anybody was in the right or wrong, I think that taking responsibility was the best course of action here for him. And yeah, he deserves some respect.
Yeah. You know, I think anybody who knows Andre, who spent extended amount of time with Andre, they know the character of the man. And I think that what happened at Who's Number One was out of character for sure. And I think this is definitely a little bit more in line with who I know, Andre, who I've gotten to know as Andre. You know, humble man who doesn't mind apologizing. Connor, he didn't mention anything about ADCC, which a lot of people were surprised about. I think a lot of people thought that he was going to say, hey, I'm either in or hey, I'm either out of the ADCC match with Gordon Ryan. Obviously, we're all still kind of chomping at the bit to find out if this match is going to happen. I don't know. What do you think? Do you want to speculate here at all? Does what transpired help the case or hurt the case? Do you think this thing is going to happen?
My initial reaction was that I thought it hurt the super fight. As soon as everything went down, it was like, oh, okay, that's out the window. There's no way it's happening. You know, but I think now with Gavao being able to reach out to his fans, let people know his side of the story, let people know that he's sorry and he recognizes the situation, it seems like a mature way of handling it. And I think as an extension, the other mature way of handling it is having the match, going and handling business. And it feels like he is now on that path. He is turning that leaf, like you guys said, or turning that page, leaf page.
You got it.
Yeah, he's he's turning that page, like you guys said, and you know it's nothing but exciting if you're a jiu-jitsu fan.
Man, I'm like crossing my fingers. I'm praying every night. I'm just hoping so much that this match happens. You know, I truly do believe that these two are the very best grapplers in the world. And at this point, like if they didn't step on the mats together, I would be heartbroken.
Yeah,
do you share that sentiment?
Oh, absolutely. It's something that needs to happen, right? It's something that we all as fans will feel just devastated if this never comes to pass. It's that thing that could have been, right? And probably it will be the biggest loss for grappling fans ever is if that match does not go down.
Yeah. So here's hoping. I know everybody else is hoping for it. So the saga continues. We shall see in the future. Who knows? But, you know, at least it sounds like we're all back on the same page anyway, the jiu-jitsu community. Another thing that kind of came out of this mayhem and of kind of coming out from the American Jiu-Jitsu documentary is I see a lot of guys out there, especially these last couple days, talking about this Brazil versus USA card. You know, kind of a borrowed idea from like a, it reminds me of like a wrestling dual meet, right? Five guys versus five guys, you know, five guys representing Brazil, five guys or girls, whatever, representing the United States, have them clash. One of them comes out the winner. A lot of buzz on social media, it seems, about this type of event, this style event. Does this something that interests you, Corey?
You know, let me be the first to say, I don't want to just see Brazil versus U.S. Ooh. I want to see a team world championships.
Ooh,
right?
Like, okay, spicy.
I'm not saying like a world championships of, you know, this team and that team. I mean, like, the U.S. world team, the Brazil world team, right? The Australian world team. This is what I want to see when we talk about right, Brazil versus U.S. Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's Jiu-Jitsu becoming so global. People have talked about it going into the Olympics and stuff like that. You know, that would be kind of a part of it. But yeah, I mean, you could at this point, you got a Swedish team, a Norwegian team. You probably put together a Portuguese team. You know, plenty of Brazil, Mexico teams. So it's not a bad idea. What do you think about this, Connor? Any like Brazil versus USA dream matchups that kind of jump to mind? I see a lot of people sharing different matches and things like that.
I've seen a few of them. Micah Galvão versus Nikki Ryan.
Man, that was one that jumped out to me too. It was like, whoa, that's a sick match.
Especially after seeing, you know, we've seen Micah Galvão put in a lot of work down there, but right now, you know, travel's up in the air. It's very hard to you know, get matches for you know, our jiu-jitsu brothers and sisters across the seas. So, you know, it's going to be good to play with that idea for a little bit. I want to see what people think. The real fun part is, you know, how good is Micah's leg lock game.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not too sure of his no-gi pedigree. Does he, you know, Corey, does he do a lot of no-gi matches? I mean, obviously, he's extremely credentialed as a gi competitor. Mm-hmm.
He had a no-gi match, what was it, 2, maybe 3 weeks ago, and he beat a decorated black belt.
That's right, that was a no-gi, huh? Okay, so Michael's, I mean, Mikhail's got some... got some no-gi pedigree on him, so for sure. You know, I saw another match, you know, Leandro Lowe versus Keenan Cornelius. I saw people talking about that one. You know, of course, we've seen that one a bunch of times, and usually it goes Leandro's way, but maybe I'd love to see it in a non-IBJJF setting. Sure. That would be interesting. You know, and of course, the kind of big one that seemed like to be at the top of the list was Gordon Ryan versus Felipe Pena.
Well, that's always a match. I mean, no matter how many times we've seen it twice now, we saw it in 2016, we saw it in 2017, right? But a lot happens in 4 years.
For real, man. It feels like 100 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, both guys have developed so much over the last couple
years. Why do you think people are so enamored with Felipe Pena versus Gordon Ryan?
Because Felipe is the only one who's been able to solve the puzzle consistently, more than once, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody is always going to believe, oh, Gordon can right that wrong this time. But the haters will want to believe that Felipe will get him a third time, mm-hmm, and the Gordon lovers will think now is the time that Gordon beats him. So it's one of those matches that it's a lot like the Gordon Galvão match. If it doesn't happen again, everybody will be disappointed.
Yeah, for sure. That's just an all-time classic match. Obviously, Felipe's 2-0 against Gordon, you know? So kind of he holds the cards a little bit in that match, although Gordon hasn't gone on to be greatest of all time, you know, or one of. So he holds a few cards, I think, too. But that just seems like one that everybody kind of latches on to, especially when debating this Brazil versus USA type of card. Any other matches there stuck out to you, Connor?
There's a few of them
that you can put together.
Yeah, I'm actually watching Ricardo Amendola. Shout out Ricardo. Blaze Breakdown. Yeah, check it out. But he's in our comments. He's saying right now, talking about Isaki Bahienze. Is that how he says it?
Bahienze.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Isaki. And Patrick Gaudio calling out DDS. You know, Isaki wants Gary.
Okay.
That's good.
Who was it? Who wants Gary?
Isaki.
Yeah, and Patrick Gaudio just said he'll take on any DDS member, no time limit, whatever.
You know, I like that Nicky Rod match for Patrick Gaudio.
Yeah, Gaudio is getting big, so Nicky Rod seems like the perfect match. I feel like, man, this the more we talk about it, the more this just kind of falls into place. Makes a lot of sense.
I'm here for it. Let's do it. Like Corey said, let's bring in the Olympics, but let's just do it.
Yeah. Did you see Izak's match at the last, what was it, BJJ Stars versus Roberto?
Yeah. I mean, he's got the kind of wrestling that I'd like to see against Gary Tonin, right?
True.
You talk about Gary Tonin's very flowy wrestling style. Izak had a game to kind of push Roberto around a little bit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he got into Roberto's legs. That's kind of what won him the match, really, right. was those heel hook attempts. You know, obviously Gary much more well versed in those entanglements than Roberto is. So you have to wonder what Izak's game plan would be for a Gary match. Exciting one. I think you can put me down for it. I think you can put for me sure. down for it. I'm into it. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Connor? Are you into it?
Sign me up. Sign let's up? Do it. Yeah. This is exactly what Who's Number One was made for.
There you go. There you go. Okay, guys, let's switch gears just a little bit here. Maybe we can dive into some rankings talk. Take a look. Michael has been updating the no-gi rankings here this week as fallout from Who's Number One and the IBJJF no-gi Dallas Open. So some changes coming down to the no-gi rankings. Of course, you can check these out on Flow Grappling if you want to check them out. But while we're here, I just wanted to maybe we can pull up the 135-pound no-gi men's ranking. We can see kind of where everybody falls. This, of course, is Mikey Musumeci's division. Mikey Musumeci, and you can see Marcelo Cohen in there at number 10. Mikey Musumeci has not competed in no-gi since 2016, so he is not up there yet. You have to think that, you know, maybe win or lose, who knows, after Who's Number One, he'll be in the no-gi rankings. But maybe we can speculate a little bit. You know, I know Mikey, one of the best in the world, but Corey, where do you think, if we were to put him into the no-gi rankings, I don't know, where do you think he goes?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say that Mikey doesn't deserve to be right at the top right away, because he's at the top almost everywhere else. When he was ranked as a featherweight, when he was ranked as a light featherweight, when he was ranked as a roosterweight, but this division, there's so many wild cards in it, right? I mean, we haven't seen some of these guys in a little while. Some of them are way more active than Mikey has been, especially in no-gi, right? Yeah. So you know, we look at guys like
Junie's all over the place.
Pinheiro, and there are quite a few inactives here as well. Mm-hmm. So I'd say maybe top five.
Yeah.
But I'd be hesitant to put him right up to number one, because Lucas Pinheiro, for example, just won no-gi pans. Junie was 6-1 last year. Like, these are people that he has not swam with in a while.
Yeah. Do you remember, has Mikey fought Taliesin? Did Mikey fight Taliesin at Europeans? Or did
I have no idea. at Euros, wasn't he doing
I think Taliesin had Malfacini first round.
Right? Taliesin had Malfacini? Okay. I know they had talked about kind of crossing paths, Mikey and Taliesin, but I couldn't remember exactly if they'd ever crossed paths, but it sounds like, I don't think they ever have. Taliesin, obviously young black belt, you know, that's a match that I would love to see, Taliesin versus Mikey. You know, definitely Taliesin has not proved nearly enough or nearly as close to what Mikey has proved, especially as a black belt, you know, so he would definitely be the underdog coming in, I think. But, you know, young guy versus the experienced veteran Taliesin, that's an exciting match. Any other matches there stick out to you, Connor, as like somebody who you'd like to see Mikey matched up against?
Or? Everyone should be looking at it right now.
What are you looking at, man?
There's a name up there, Kyotera.
Kyotera. So they used to be coach and student.
Yeah.
They still are. I'm not exactly sure.
That's a fun one. And if you watched Kyotera's most recent no-gi performance, I believe it was at Who's Number One versus Gabe.
Tuttle? Yeah, it was Fight to Win.
Was that Fight to Win?
Fight to Win, okay.
I mean, regardless, what a performance. It looked like he was not near as competition shape as Mikey is currently staying in. I mean, if you look at his Instagram, the guy looks like he can just crush cars with a bear hug. But that's an interesting one. You got a lot of lot riding on the line there, the student surpassing the master kind of idea.
Wow. Come on. Kyotera versus Mikey Musumeci?
Make it happen.
You think we can make that happen?
Come on, Michael Sears. I believe in you.
who knows? Those guys have a history. At, you know, I don't know where it stands these days, but I know Mikey's training out of Vegas, training with his sister and everything. So I love that. I've seen actually a lot of Kyle stuff on Kyle's Instagram. It seems like he's doing a lot of no-gi training, and he's training like crazy scrambles with Mason Fowler and stuff like that. So it does look like Kyle's training. It does look like he's having some cool stuff out there. Anything specific you're looking forward to, Corey, about Mikey's debut here at Who's Number One, no-gi debut? I'm actually going to go see Mikey in Vegas tomorrow. So if you guys have any questions you'd like me to ask Mikey, let me know. But
there are a couple of things about what Mikey does that always grabs our attention, right? It's things like that footlock and especially his back-taking ability. Roberto is one of the best at no-gi barambolos, right? It's a different game. The grips are entirely different. The sequence of movements is entirely different. I want to see if Mikey plans on using a barambolo, how he modifies his game to rely less on grips in those setups and in the finishes and in the whole sequence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or if he throws that out entirely and goes on something else.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? Is you know, there a lot of people used to say that like to get good at no-gi, you have to do the gi, mm-hmm. basically, too, right? So do you think that obviously Mikey's jiu-jitsu will translate, but do you think he's going to have a hard time with any one specific area of the no-gi game because it is so different?
You know, nothing's – it's tough to pin a weakness on Mikey Musumeci,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, true.
One thing I hope we see from him also is maybe some guard passing work.
Some top game.
Yeah, we don't see a lot of it, but when we do, it's pretty magic, mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think maybe his gi, the part of his gi game that best translates to no gi is his passing. He used a lot of half guard, heavy shoulder pressure, cross facing, and then just like sliding up to quarter guard and to mount, or mm-hmm. to three quarter guard and to mount. So that might translate the best.
There you go. Joao Miao, another guy that Mikey has fought quite a bit in his career. So would love to see that match only in no-gi. I believe actually they fought no-gi Worlds 2016.
I'm right.
Pretty sure that was the final, Joao versus Mikey, and Mikey won that one. Pretty sure Mikey is undefeated against the Miao brothers. But, you know, anytime Miao's go out there, that's an exciting match. And Mikey versus Miao, especially, they have history. So we'd love to see that one. Juni, another name I'd love to see against Mikey. Juni out there looking good. So we'd love to see him out there. So plenty of big matches for Mikey. Plenty of good stuff in this 135-pound weight class. Got some new life injected into it here. But also want to take a look here maybe real quick at the heavyweight rankings as we wrap up here, just to take a look at where Yuri and Nick Rodriguez fall on this list. Obviously, Gordon Ryan sits atop the heavyweight rankings, but as you can see, you have Nick Rodriguez at number 4 and Yuri Samoyes at number 6. You want to take a look at this one, Connor, and tell me what do you think? Any other matches for these guys jump out at you?
Yeah, like 1,000 of them for each of them. This is such a good weight class. You're looking at Cyborg kind of being a gatekeeper to Gordon Ryan at the top, though we know that hasn't kept people from competing with him. He's who's going to dominate that second man spot until they eventually fight or face off, right? Because mm-hmm. we kind of need 1 and 2 to go.
Yeah.
You know, and Nicky Rod could match up fun against pretty much anyone from 2 to 8. And have it be an exciting match.
What do you think if Nick wins and wins emphatically or wins impressively? Do you think is the option Cyborg there? Do we run it back with Cyborg?
That'll be the three-peat, right? That'll be the tiebreaker. Yeah. Well, I guess it was a draw the second time, a win for Nicky Rod the first time. So yeah, let's run it back third time. Let's see what happens.
Third time, Nicky Rodriguez versus Cyborg. That'd be a fun one. How about if Yuri wins here? Corey, Yuri comes out the victor here. Who you'd like to see Yuri go up against next?
I'll tell you what, win, lose, doesn't matter. Give me either of these guys against Victor Hugo any day.
There you go.
I think Victor Hugo is going to be one of the most exciting prospects to watch in this division, not just this year, but for the next couple of years.
How about Victor versus Gordon?
I think that's the match.
That could be a match,
that's
huh?
That's the match.
We haven't seen that one. You know, Lovato has talked about wanting to compete against Gordon, so I think Victor's maybe kind of taking a back seat to his kind of like mentor, Rafael Lovato Jr., to see if they're going to fight. But, you know, if that doesn't happen, I think, that the one to make here is Victor Hugo, Gordon Ryan. Or Or Cyborg versus Gordon Ryan. Yeah. Or,
Don't hate on my pick.
There's some good ones in there. Connor, anything going on social media wise that we should know about?
Yeah, we got a few comments here. We got one that reads, "Woot woot, Corey sure. jamming his toe and winning gold. Congrats, go. Corey." They wanted to know about the potential for USA Brazil, which we covered because we're way ahead of you guys. And then past that. They were talking about the Taza and Tama fight. Who's a favorite, and does it end in leg lock?
Who's the favorite? What do you think, Corey? You have to give the favorite to Taza? I mean...
So, if we look, just looking at the rankings, I know the rankings don't...
aren't the end-all, be-all, right. But...
Tama is one ahead of Taza here. They're very close, I think. Mm-hmm. It's gonna. I'm curious to see. We do the betting odds article for every one of these events. I'm curious to see what the odds are. I think they're gonna be remarkably close.
Yeah, razor thin.
Yeah.
These two guys could have met in the IBJJF.
That's right. Yeah,
Dallas
they were
bracket.
Both in the bracket.
And luckily, yeah. You know, luckily some things happened and we didn't see the match. That would have been a little bit of a buzzkill, but we saved it, and we're looking forward to it March 26th. And, yeah, I don't know. Maybe Johnny's the favorite. Maybe Taz is the favorite. Maybe it's up to you guys. Let us know who y'all think is the favorite. It's going to be a close match. A lot of great matches on this card. March 26th, Wagner Hosha versus Gordon Ryan, Yuri Samoyes versus Nikki Rodriguez. We might even have a couple more fights for you. We got Maggie Grindati versus Rafael Guedes. And Ethan Krenlinston versus Cade Rotolo. We're running that one back. Rematch of the century. That should be a great one. Both those guys destined to be ADCC champions, in my opinion. You know, they're two of the best in their divisions, in their weight classes. So really excited to see that one run back again. I can tell both these guys want to run that one back. They want the win. They want the emphatic win to let everybody know that they're the best. So really excited for this. Who's number one? March 26th. We're going to be back next week, guys, with another show. Really appreciate y'all tuning in. Reed, Corey, Connor, thanks, everybody. We'll see y'all next week. Oops, we're out of here.